This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into grandma pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome to ENN on a Thursday evening in New York. It's going to be a tough one to do with everything that's happened over the last 15 minutes. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael. My thing fell over. Hold on.
I'm sorry if your thing fell over. Fix the camera, though.
Thank you.
That was strong.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
It doesn't matter what you meant. It's what I heard, and I'm offended.
Actually, when I say good evening to Don, Anthony, one more time, can we give a little taste to the people of the song that was sent to me on the internet today, the great Sniff It Dead remix, which was sent by a listener? It's tremendous. There's a video on everything on my Instagram, Rosenberg Radio. Let's hear the Don remix, Sniff It Dead.
No, you just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him. Sniff him. You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead. Sniff him.
You're bludgeoning
somebody to death, and they go, "Well, sniff him." I was looking to change the walls red. Oh, that good job. I like that. Sniff him. Tiger watch about how he completely melted down for the weekend. Sniff him. Still overcame it and still finished. But who cares?
Sniff him dead.
Sniff him.
See, this is the garbage that I go through, right?
Sniff him.
Inhuman, it's unhealthy, and it's sick.
Sniff him.
Tiger, who basically soiled himself this weekend.
Sniff him.
That's why this sport is absolute filth and garbage.
Sniff him. Sniff him.
That you're just hanging on the Tiger.
Hanging on for dear life.
Sniff him.
Like your last little nail is holding on to the rope.
Sniff him.
Before you plummet to your death. That's all this sport is.
It's Tiger, Tiger, Tiger.
Tiger, Tiger, Tiger.
Tiger, Tiger, Tiger.
Sniff him dead.
I hope and pray to God above that he decides to retire.
Sniff him.
I mean, listen, I could listen to this endlessly. It's genius.
We should release it as a single. It might end up on...
People are saying, because I'm dropping a compilation album this year, people are saying I should add it to the album, Sniff Him
Dead. Why not?
Is it worthy?
It's a terrific song. What I love about it is he basically includes your entire rant. It's a song that just is an entire rant with the hook of Sniff Him Dead.
Special.
I have to plug in my phone, everyone. Don't try to get a view of my pants again. All right, everyone, there's a lot to discuss today when it comes to the world of sports. We'll start out with the Nets. We haven't talked about them in a couple hours. We've been caught up in football. Debut of the Big Three last night. Didn't work out. Gave up 100,000 points and lost in double overtime to the 500 Cleveland Cavaliers. They'll get a chance at the Cavs again tomorrow night at 7:30 before taking on the Heat on Saturday. Let's hear from Coach Steve Nash about the game and how long it'll take for these guys to gel.
Look, this is first night that we've had everyone on the floor together. You know, we seemed a little lost at times, which is natural because we haven't played together. So there's a little indecision. We started the game turning the ball over. I think we had 7 or 8 in the first quarter. You know, we cleaned it up, got ourselves back in the game. But obviously, you know, we have to defend better.
I think he's right. Can't go wacky over one game. First time they're playing together, all three of them. They scored 96 points, so you know they could score. They've got to play better defense, and they have to know where each of them is going to be at every time on the floor, and that's why they had all the turnovers in the first half. But it got better in the second half, and I think they just ran out of gas in the overtimes.
Got to say, Kyrie was pretty good, though. That putback, was it in the first overtime or end of regulation? He had a beautiful putback.
You know what I love with him? I'm sure you noticed this, too.
Yeah.
He dribbles right by the paint and pulls up in front of the foul line. So it's probably about a 14-footer, 15-footer, and just drains it. It just ripples the court. It's perfect. His form is perfect on that shot.
15 of 28 from the floor for 37 for Kyrie. He was a plus-minus-7. Now, Durant went for 38, 12 of 25. Shooting. What do you guys think? At the end of regulation, there was a near offensive foul called on Kyrie Irving where they at first the ref said that he elbowed a player in the face. Then they reviewed it. in live time, I did not think it was a foul. They show the, they go to challenge it, and when we see the replay, I'm like, oh, you know what? That was a foul. And then they overturn it.
Mm. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. You heard Richard Jefferson on Yes, right? He said, well, that wasn't a foul. And then they showed the replay just like you said, oh, my, that was a foul. And then they overturn. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't.
Clearly elbowed him in the face.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that in you would be surprised to see it called the first time because it happened really quickly, and it's not like they didn't hit body to body. It was on his way by him that he hit him with the elbow, which is what made it so interesting that the replay made it clear and they decided to overturn. It was bizarre. But either way, it is what it is. Don, I'm going to play a piece of audio of a reporter. Sure. I'd like you to tell me who the reporter is talking to, okay?
Okay.
All right, can you play that audio there, the basketball reporter, Anthony?
Wardell, why is Kelly so good at put back dunks?
He says his name. That's the first thing he says is his name. Did you catch that?
I know.
I know you do, Michael.
Okay.
God. He said Kelly.
No, he said Wardell.
Let's hear it again.
Wardell, why is Kelly so good at put back dunks?
Wardell?
Yep.
That's right.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Michael, go ahead.
Steph Curry's real first name is Wardell. So the only seen Steph Curry's eyes roll when the guy said it. Couldn't believe it.
Is that right?
Why did he do that? First of all, I was 2 years old when I knew Steph Curry's name was Wardell. Second of all, I don't think that played very well. Man, people call him Steph. I've never heard him called Wardell once in his entire life.
That's even worse than like the Jim Harden, James Harden thing. Like you're just trying to be cute, but I don't think you'd ever call him Jim in a press conference.
No, well, no. But if he came on our show, I'd consider it.
Well, for the fun, but in that situation, that's just...
No, were you being serious? It's almost disrespectful.
Yeah.
That wasn't the craziest. It's not the craziest bit of audio, though, we have. Because there's a new head coach in Detroit for the Lions, guys. You know who it is? Wardell Dan Campbell. That's correct. And he had an interesting opening speech to his team.
So this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? Yeah. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take 2 more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take 3 shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
Why? Beautiful. Why did that happen?
Does he know he's coaching football?
Is there
some sort of like blood sport that he thinks he's actually coaching?
Football is a blood sport.
He sounds like Johnny Lawrence from Cobra Kai. That was it was crazy.
That's trying way too hard, bro.
Well, he also said things in Detroit are going to change.
This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised, and I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, but none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that, so excuse my language, all right? Here's what I do know, is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city, all right? And this city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right, it's found a way to overcome adversity.
By the
you
way,
everybody
that was Joe Judge talk.
Yeah, everybody likes that. Joe Judge did it. First of all, the people that are playing for you don't come from Detroit. People that are playing for the Giants don't come from New York, New Jersey. Some of them do, but not all 53.
Well,
so one of the most successful franchises of all time, the New England Patriots. So what? Tony New Englanders? That's such a silly, cliched comment.
Well, but I understand.
Be a good football team.
I disagree too.
San Francisco. So you want San Francisco 49ers, all the Super Bowls they won. Were they drinking wine?
Yeah, big wine team.
See, I didn't know that.
When you have a press conference, you're having the press conference for the fans.
I get it.
The majority of the fans are from Detroit. You're trying to win those fans over, and they appreciate that. If he's giving a speech to the team, well, then I would say that's silly because not everybody's from Detroit or cares about the history or whatever. But I think
He's talking to the fans. That statement alone, that cut that we just played, that's fine. I get that. You're trying to win over the fans, and it's all true. It's a city that's trying to rebound. It's a franchise trying to rebound. That's all good. I'm good with that. But when you start talking about biting kneecaps off, and then that's just being stupid. But you're talking to the fans, Mike. You're talking to your fan base. So I got no
problem
with that.
You win, and you win over the fan base.
Well, then cliche, don't even have a press
nonsense. We're going to take on the personality of our city. Stop it.
I think you're way off on this.
I don't.
I think it's a good message you're trying to send to the fans. It's we respect you and we want to reflect you. That's it.
I mean, you're talking to your fans. You're representing the city. The fans get caught up in all that. You know, I understand. At the end of the day, you got to win games. I get that. I mean, listen, Roberts, we're in love with Robert Saleh. We all think it's great. Go 0-16 next year. Guess what? You're a bad coach. Fire him. Let's move on.
I know I'm being Captain Literal, man, but it's so dumb and tired. So the 49ers should take on the person I have wine country. I mean, Napa. We'll all go to Napa and play football. You play good football. That's how you win over your fan base.
Oh my God! You are so. This is really as
it's
bad.
It's Captain Literal Man. It's
this is really
extreme.
Epically bad. Honestly, so I admit it, and we move on, or I'm just going to continue to abuse you.
Because look up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Captain Literal Man. I mean,
so when the Cowboys won the three
city.
Super Bowls, right?
Yep.
Did they take on the personality of downtown Dallas? Is that what they did? Or did they play great football?
But there is a common thread here. Ah. There's a lot in common with the city of Detroit and the football team.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
I'm not.
I mean, you want to run it up the pole for proof?
It's a coach trying to, like, win over a fan base with some silly comments.
Listen, doesn't have a kick
Joe
coming because he embarrassed
I didn't
himself
like when
with
he
the kneecap
stuff. Take on the personality of the people in the city.
Well, these First are the people all, you're talking to.
The people that you're talking to probably can't even afford the PSLs.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
But that you're not talking just to the fans in the stands. You're talking to all the fans.
Okay. That's right.
A press conference, a dog and pony show is for the fans. All right? And they're all Detroit guys, and they all grow up in that town or around that town, and they probably appreciate a guy that understands that it's not just some job, that he gets the city. He gets what they're going through.
I agree.
You know, and you're just trying to reach out to the fans to kind of understand them. I understand. We all get, Michael, that it's all garbage until you go out there and prove that you can coach. Same in the positive sense with Saleh. We love it, but, you know, we're going to judge him on his wins and losses. When he starts talking about biting kneecaps off, that's when he lost me.
Well,
but to talk to your fan base and try to understand your fan base, I see value in that.
I don't mind understanding the fan. Listen, the people of Detroit, you've had tough times here. You've built back up. We hope to mirror that, but don't say that your style of play is going to mirror the people of Detroit. You have no idea.
Oh my God!
Let's move forward here.
For Michael's sake,
no, for your sake,
for both of your sakes. We spoke to head coach Robert Saleh of the New York Jets earlier about a lot of things. I recommend you subscribe to the Michael K. Show podcast and go hear it because he was tremendous. First, he talked about who stands out on this Jets roster.
There's some really cool guys, just recollection from the draft and just over the years. And you look at on defense, Quinnen Williams, that kid is special. He's a game wrecker. He's somebody you have to game plan against to keep him at bay. And obviously it gives the other 10 guys an opportunity to excel just because of the focus that he's going to garner. On the other side of the ball, you look at Sam. Sam is an unbelievable talent. He really is. There's a reason why he was the third pick in the draft. His arm talent is special. He's a natural thrower. He's fearless in the pocket. The young man's got the mental capacity to process and make decisions in a timely manner to keep himself clean. And if things break down, he has the ability to scramble and make plays on the move. So there are a lot of really good players to go through the whole roster. I'm sure I'd miss somebody, but there's a lot of great pieces to this roster, and to have the ability to study it all and see where everything fits as we deploy this scheme and implement and install our schemes on offense, defense, and special teams, it'll kind of come to fruition about where we're at.
And here's something that makes you excited if you're a Jets fan. Coach Saleh thinks this turnaround could be pretty quick.
I don't know. I would love to give you the definitive answer. I've never put things on time because, yeah, it could flip tomorrow. It could flip whenever. But one thing I know is that we're going to win championships. And the communication, the way we go about our daily business, the work that we're going to put in, where the end of the line is to that championship is, I wish I could tell you. But I do know it's going to happen. And I think that this entire city is going to gravitate towards this organization, and it's going to get to where everyone expects it to be. And so we embrace the past. We embrace the expectations. And we're excited to fulfill on that promise.
I really enjoyed this man.
Yeah, it was good.
Me too.
He's my Joe Judge, actually. You can have Joe Judge. I'm taking Saleh.
So Saleh and Judge will both be in Canton.
Wouldn't that be? Well, I'll tell you what. That would make for a wonderful next few years of this program. So I'm all here for it.
When they go to Canton, though, can you please take Charlie and Callie to go see?
I think you'll be around.
No. That'll be 40 years from now. They're both, you know.
No, it could be.
Judge is 38.
Yeah, but if Judge has a great run for the next 10 years, maybe he retires early.
No, I don't think so. That makes you stay longer.
All right. Well, I promise if you're no longer with us, I will make sure Charlie and Callie attend. And when that point in their life, they're like, you know, sipping wine, and one of them's like a data analyst and the other one's a lawyer. And they're like, I sort of remember you from my childhood, but I don't have any interest in professional sports.
Well, then
and
I wouldn't want to go to the ceremony.
Yeah. And I'm going to go, trust me, this meant a lot. And he goes, I've never even heard of this Joe Judge fellow.
Are you imitating Charlie with that accent?
That's adult. That's 50-year-old Charlie.
But why would he turn into that person?
That would be
46-year-old Charlie.
That is just what I think he's going to become, a really big, like, economic powerhouse. He's going to go to England for a while.
He's going to turn into William Buckley, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And then he's going to be like, I don't even watch American football, but I suppose if you think my dad would be interested, I'll go. Even though mom said we should never speak of him again.
These barbarians. What are the numbers on their jerseys? Their IQs?
Well, I didn't go that far. Now, Don, see, now you just made him really judgmental. That's just wrong.
Come on. Who's his dad?
That's a great point by you, what you just said.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Aaron Rodgers says he does not know exactly what his future holds. He says it's been 10 years since his last Super Bowl appearance, and he says, I'm always just trying to stay present, especially this year, as much as anything, and enjoy the moments. I hope there's more opportunities, but I don't know. I really don't. That stuff's out of my control. My future is a beautiful mystery, I think.
No, you made that part up, right?
No.
He is very unlikable to me. I love him as a football player. But
he has his moments, though. He has nozzles.
He's a bit of a toolbox, let's be honest.
He has his moments. You know who played a critical man in Aaron Rodgers' career?
Ed Hospodar?
No. former Packers GM Ted Thompson passed away at just 68 years old. He drafted Rodgers. He traded Favre. He built the team that won Super Bowl 45. He played 10 seasons in the NFL with the Oilers and was the GM from 2005 to 2017. And then he was in a consultant role because of his declining health. But obviously that'll, I'm sure, be on the minds of the Packers organization this weekend in their championship game. But he really built something special with this team. They are just perennially a good football team. Also, just interesting note. Did you see the Packers sign Tremont Williams, who their former corner, who I didn't even realize was still in the league, but he was on the Ravens, and because of the rules this year, even though he played in two Ravens games, he already played in two playoff games. He's going to suit up for the Packers this weekend. 37 years old.
Fair.
It's very strange.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair.
But other teams have taken advantage of the same thing. Everyone has the option. Patrick Mahomes back on the practice field today as the Chiefs continue to prepare. Now, there are people worried about the concussion protocol, but there are also people worried about the toe that he injured last weekend as well. He's still in the concussion protocol, but Mahomes took all the snaps Wednesday. So all indications are that Patrick Mahomes plays. Now, I don't want to tip my hand, guys, but I think there's a chance that no matter what, we know Mahomes is playing, and that's clear. That doesn't mean that he's in great shape.
Well, the struggle I have is it's been so long. So long since that they covered.
Yeah.
Is it a thing, or is it they're like really due? They're eventually just going to blow somebody out.
You know what? I'll tell you this, guys, right now, because I've been hinting at it already. I'm upset because I'm strongly leaning the same direction as RJ Bell, which worries me greatly about this weekend. Mm-hmm. No one wants to be on the same side as RJ Bell.
But we'll wait till what Bob tells you.
See, but that's the thing. Bob doesn't tell me anything.
Right.
I'm my own man.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I would want to do is side with RJ Bell. But, I mean, Don knows me so well that Don could have made my picks tomorrow for me. Don knows where I'm going this week. Of course he knows. I don't need to incarcerate a Bob.
Well,
need...
I think that if we pay attention to each other and listen to the show, which is quality.
It's a great show.
We know where each other sits right now.
It's.
I mean, I said it. I already, when the playoffs started, I had my Super Bowl pick.
Right. And you guys know the money that I put on the Super Bowl. Everyone knows.
And with the Bills being a dog, I mean, hey, listen, it's out there.
And a dog against a team with maybe a compromised quarterback. Last thing, didn't think this would happen so quickly. Dwayne Haskins has signed a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Danny, we haven't heard from you.
Yeah, Danny, I want to congratulate you. Please call up. Some congratulations are in order. That'll do it for ENN as we prepare for our friend Eric LeGrand to join the program.
That's
next.
Right. He's got a new product out that you have to buy.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.